northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of hour number two on this absolutely wonderful Wednesday, August 28, 2024 edition, Your Defending Fathers on 97.7 FM, WCHY, Sheboygan. Kind of an interesting situation occurring on the U.S. Senate race. And again, we're talking a lot of national politics, a lot of U.S. Senate politics, primarily because Lansing's a ghost town. Nothing really happening. I've been checking to see about pending upcoming legislation, discussion, talks. Nothing really to talk about. So we're going to focus this week on the statewide races, U.S. Senate. U.S. Senate candidate Elisa Slotkin, Democrat from Holly, her campaign announced that it has agreed to two televised debates in October against her Republican opponent, Mike Rogers. Neither which were the debates proposed by the Michigan Debate Task Force. Slotkin said yes to Wood TV's debate in Grand Rapids on Wednesday, October 9th. And the WXYZ debate, that's the ABC affiliate in Detroit, for Monday, October 14th. Both of the debates will be broadcast statewide. Rogers, on the other hand, has not accepted these debates specifically yet. But he has expressed interest in debating Slotkin in the past. Slotkin's communication director, Austin Cook, said Congresswoman Slotkin is looking forward to being on the debate stage and giving voters a clear picture of both candidates and their very different visions for Michigan's future. This is consistent with previous statewide elections in Michigan, and we're pleased that both of the debates will be televised statewide, so voters in every part of Michigan can be engaged. We hope to see Mike Rogers there. Well, Rogers' communications spokesperson, Chris Gustafson, responded by saying, Mike Rogers is excited and ready to debate Slotkin and expose her long and consistent record of prioritizing personal ambitions at the expense of Michigan workers. We'll share more as we work to ensure as many voters as possible across Michigan will have an opportunity to tune in. Now, the interesting thing, the Michigan Debate Task Force recommended three debates. One, to be on September 12th in Grand Rapids before the absentee ballots go out. They go out on September 26th. Another one, October 10th in Traverse City, and another one, October 22nd in Detroit. It had the support of the Detroit Economic Club, the Economic Club of Traverse City, Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce, the Northern Michigan Chamber Alliance, and several other groups. But evidently, Slotkin's not willing to attend any of those and is only willing to do two at this point. Again, one on Wood TV in Grand Rapids and the other 5 days later on WXYZ in Detroit. Got to ask yourself a couple of questions. are you willing to vote for based on their willingness to debate? Is that really an issue for you? Or is your mind already made up? You're voting straight Republican ticket. You're voting for Rogers. You really don't care about Elisa Slotkin. You don't care to know anything about her. You're just going to vote straight Republican, so Rogers has automatically got your vote. On the other side, you're a Democrat. You're going to vote for Slotkin regardless of the debates, regardless of whether or not Rogers participates or not. Is this really a major deal for you in determining who you're going to vote for? Personally, I don't even care to waste my time to watch the debates between Rogers and Slotkin if they happen. I'm not interested in anything Elisa Slotkin has to say. I really don't even like Rogers, but I'm going to vote for him. So why waste my time watching a debate between two people that I don't even like or don't even really care if they get elected? The only reason I'm voting for Rogers is I want to make sure Slotkin does not become the next U.S. senator and going to spend the next 36 years as our U.S. senator in Washington, D.C. At least Rogers is slightly older than her and perhaps won't be there, but maybe perhaps 12 years, two terms. I'm not really sure. But anyway, they're debating over the debates is basically what this is coming down to. And I don't understand who is the Michigan Debate Task Force. I don't believe that's part of any parties, part of the Republican or Democrat Party. I don't even know who makes it up. Who is the Michigan Debate Task Force? And why did they pick these particular dates? Anybody out there know anything about this group? How they came to these dates, these decisions? Never heard of it. So it's pretty funny what's happening in that race, and we'll see what happens. We'll report on it. Now, kind of an interesting little side twist. Third-party funding, litigation spreading across the United States. Does the rise of so-called third-party litigation funders making some lawsuits potentially go against the wishes of a plaintiff? Or does it give people who may not be able to afford to bring a claim a chance to have their case heard? Third-party funding was the subject of a national panel at the National Conference of State Legislatures annual summit this month. Featured members of the panel, Phil Goldberg, he's an attorney from Shook, Hardy, and Bacon, who was described as a leading voice in liability policy issues. Another one, Keith Scharfman, he was a professor of law at St. John's University. Interesting. Third-party funding is described as a financial arrangement where a third-party entity provides funding so a plaintiff can pursue a legal remedy in court. Often, the plaintiff agrees to provide a percentage of the settlement to the third party if they win in court. It is a concept still fairly new, but J.J. Gentry, counsel to the South Carolina General Assembly, moderated the panel, said he doesn't know how much, if any, has been used in his state of South Carolina. State legislatures are increasingly looking at the issue through proposed legislation. This includes the state of Ohio, Currently, they have a Senate Bill 19, which would require disclosures and third-party funders to register with the state. Ohio's Senate Judiciary Committee held two hearings on the bill so far. Goldberg said that third-party litigation funding, also known as third-party financing, often involves hedge funds and institutional investors who invest or buy into lawsuits strictly for a financial return, a piece of the pie. He said it's becoming favored by investors because it's not tied to economic or market conditions and is often seen as being much more lucrative an investment. He said it was not allowed in certain courts for centuries, as courts was trying to protect the civil justice system and have disputes resolved without any outside interference. The idea of third-party financing started roughly about 25 years ago in Australia. Then it migrated to Great Britain before coming to Canada and then the United States roughly about 15 years ago. There is no regulatory structure because it is generally not allowed, Goldberg said. He argued that the money is now reshaping every aspect of litigation, including what cases are filed, how long the cases go, and ultimately what is settled. He said this is why state legislators are starting to take notice and considering passing legislation. He outlined three kinds of third-party financing agreements. Direct-to-consumer involves a plaintiff who needs money immediately to pay medical bills or for wage assistance. So they go to a company that gives them the money directly in exchange for a stake in a potential lawsuit. Two others will wrap this up. Final segment of hour number two. We'll be right back.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Gun owners in Northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Epoxy Pro, a veteran-owned company serving Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois for over 38 years. Epoxy Pro provides one-and-done forever floors that are maintenance-free and easy to clean. Preserve, protect, and even restore your concrete floors today. Check us out online at epoxypro.com or call us at 877-703-7699. Epoxy Pro, your floors today. Call us at 877-703-7699.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Hey Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water. PFAS free, mineral rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran owned. Go to MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of hour number two. Just wrapping up this story, basically, is lawsuits, lawfare, whatever term you want to use, basically has become an investment opportunity for these hedge funds. They actually are funding lawsuits, paying the lawyers to file the lawsuits against certain basically defendants that they feel they may be successful in bringing a lawsuit against them where there'll be a settlement. We haven't had this in our legal system until recently. And the problem is they're taking an issue, a conflict, a problem that should be perhaps mediated, perhaps settled, maybe even thrown out because many of these cases are frivolous. There's no legal basis for it. But if you got a group of people willing to give you money to hire an attorney, the old adage, you can sue anybody for anything. So we'll see what happens. With this, is this something that is actually a problem here in the state of Michigan? Is this something that the state of Michigan, the House of Representatives, Senators, and Governor is going to take up? We'll have to wait and see. One issue that has somewhat of a kickback to it has to do with the China virus vaccines. Low vaccination rates have become a statewide issue in Michigan schools, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. With more than half of Michigan's counties, 47 of them, classified as low vaccine pockets, yielding a 70% or lower child vaccination rate. Well, according to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services Medical Executive Director, Dr. Bagdasarian, in 2017, child vaccinations rates in Michigan were up to 75%. During the pandemic, vaccination rates dropped to below 65%. And we have failed to get back to our pre-pandemic levels since then. Vaccine-preventable diseases such as measles have made a resurgence in Michigan despite being declared eliminated in the United States back in 2000. The doctor said over a 90% vaccination rate is ideal to establish herd immunity for these highly transmissible diseases. We also know that low vaccination rates in communities can leave folks vulnerable. So when the rates of herd immunity decline, that's what puts everyone at risk. This is especially a problem if you have somebody who's vulnerable in your family. Bagdasarian said children too young to be vaccinated, pregnant people, people who are undergoing chemotherapy or have received an organ transplant are some examples of the groups most at risk in communities lacking herd immunity. She said the low rates could be partially explained by the vaccine's misinformation and disinformation circulating during and after the pandemic. Founder of the I Vaccinate campaign, Veronica McNally, said she urges parents to check with their doctors to see if their children is missing any routine vaccinations before sending them back to school. We know that diseases can spread quickly, and sometimes they can be devastating consequences. McNally went on to say, vaccine-preventable diseases are still a threat, and vaccinations are our best protection against them. Well, that's up to you folks. Personally, I'm against the vaccinations, not going to take them, not interested. Thank you very much. I've never had a flu shot, never will. And I definitely did not get the China virus jab. Too many horror stories, too many friends I know having medical issues as a result. Sorry, not for me. And of course, people are going to make a big deal that I said that on the radio. Well, too bad, so sad, you'll get over it. Just add it to the long list of things I've said on this microphone that you don't agree with. Put your stupid statements on these blog posts. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a dang. Just telling it like it is from my perspective. Basically, exercising my First Amendment rights. You don't agree? I understand. We just have to agree to disagree. One of the things we're going to be talking about in the next hour, local politics. School board races, county